Well, I'd like to start today by declaring an interest. I really love living in London, and one of the reasons I really enjoy being here is because I have access to some of the best shops, some of the best restaurants, cafes, bars, clubs, anywhere in the world. My children can walk to school, the doctor's is just down the road, and the A&E isn't far away. Now, I have all these things because of urban density, because there are enough people living on my street and in my neighbourhood to support those services. So the reason I'm telling you this today is because the debate about density is often very contentious, it's often very fractious, and we found out just how emotive it can be in pulling together this report. So, before I even start, I just want to say, you know, housing density doesn't have to be a negative thing. Quite often, communities are wary of higher densities because of mistakes that have been made in the past. But I think design can help overcome some of those issues, and in fact, can actually help enhance quality of life. I just want to point out two things. Kensington and Chelsea, for example, is one of the densest boroughs in London, and yet it's also one of the most affluent. So high density doesn't have to mean low-value housing. Paris is also one of the densest cities in the world. The centre of Paris accommodates an awful lot of people, and yet we wax lyrical about its boulevards, about its architecture, about its quality of life. So the other thing those two points illustrate is that density doesn't have to be high-rise. Now, I've got nothing against tall buildings. In fact, I grew up on the 13th floor of a high-rise, and it did me no harm. But we're not saying that you need to build skyscrapers everywhere. We're not proposing we turn Hendon into Hong Kong. But we are calling for better use of land today. So I'm not going to go through the entire report. I'm going to take you through three key points. Why we need density, where we can develop at greater density, and how we can go about doing that. We know that our population is growing very fast, and at 8.6 million, it's the largest it's ever been. Projections suggest that we're going to get to over 11 million by 2050. So where are all these people going to live? Here are those stats that John mentioned earlier. Well, our estimate for last year is that we built 28,000 homes in London. Now, that's a big increase from where we've been, but it's still a long way off the London plan target of 42,000. And that in itself is still below the need assessment, which is between 49 and 62. Now, I know the GLA has asked boroughs to, you know, up their building and to regard 42,000 as the minimum. But it's really clear that we're going to have to do even more. In the research department, we've looked at the pipeline of developments coming through. And roughly, we estimate that over the next 5 years, we will be delivering something like 32,000 homes a year on average. Now, again, that is an improvement, but it's still not enough. So it's clear that if we carry on doing what we've been doing so far, we're simply not going to meet need. We need to do some bigger thinking. So when London First approached us to come up with a paper on density, we sat back and we thought, what if? What if we were to look at all the areas of London which are relatively low density but are still very well connected? What if we could nudge the density levels up just a fraction in those areas? What would it get us? The answer is an astonishing 1.46 million homes. Now, that's an enormous number. And, you know, I can see many of you are surprised. But let me explain a little bit more about how we came up with that number. In the analysis, we stripped out all the green areas, the parks, water, the Thames, canals. We also took out the green belt, just for the sake of argument. What we didn't do is assess transport capacity, and we didn't look at social infrastructure. So we're not saying that that number is deliverable by the end of the week or even in a decade. What it is an indication of potential, right? Put it this way, that number represents over 1 million more homes above the London target for the next decade. If we were to deliver just 10% of that, we could increase the London target from 42,000 to 52,000, which is far more in line with need. Now, I think that's really worth considering. Where can we do that? Well, the clue is in the map. So the dark blue areas there highlight the areas which are relatively well connected but have relatively low densities in comparison with their connectivity. And some of those areas include Hounslow, Old Oak Common, Upper and Lower Lee Valley, Wimbledon, Croydon, and clearly vast swathes of southeast London, which I think, you know, is a particularly interesting area. I think it's got a lot of untapped potential, and I think it's interesting that the TfL are doing a lot of work to increase frequencies on the trains in that area so that it provides more of a metro service, and that can make a real difference to that patch. In summary, what that means is that there's huge potential in outer London. Now, the Outer London Commission knows this, which is why it's done a lot of work looking at how, you know, we might be able to increase development in those areas. So some of the scenarios I'm going to outline right now reflect their work. And these include town centres, particularly well-connected ones, other parts of suburban area, lots of potential for intensification, and possibly doing what we've seen in the picture there, adding an extra story on top of existing buildings. It's a small change, but you know, every little helps. And then the big one is public land and estate regen. Earlier this year, Andrew Adonis said that he estimates there are about 3,500 estates in London, many of which are in disrepair and need regeneration, so huge potential there. So just to finish off with the how can we make all this work? Well, in all fairness to planners, you know, all the recent amendments to the London plan reflect a lot of what I've just said. You know, the word density, housing density, runs throughout those documents. They have been calling for a lot more. But I wonder if I could nudge you to take a step further and look at the density matrix. Now, the density matrix is a tool which effectively divides London into three categories: suburban, urban, and central, and then suggests appropriate densities, a range of appropriate densities for those areas. Now, it also says that these numbers should not be applied mechanistically. But I do wonder whether, you know, if you have a tool which effectively tells you what the top density ought to be, does that not limit development when we really ought to be encouraging developers to make the very best possible use of our land? That's, you know, one of the thoughts that I think we ought to be discussing between now and the mayoral elections. So just to finish off, in conclusion, the mayoral race will begin quite shortly. We know Sadiq is standing for Labour. I think most of us can guess who the other chap is going to be. I think this is a perfect time to start talking about these arguments and perhaps change the conversation from one which seeks to limit density to one which seeks to make the very best use of London land.